Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kHz. You can also listen to our programs via our website, which is rai.com.ar. There you can find all kinds of podcasts and features in various languages, in 8 languages, available as on-demand podcasts. And you can also listen to our station via the Okeechobee plans of WRMI, Miami Radio International. The frequency, as I said, is 5800 kHz. I am Fernando Farias, and I am bringing you this weekly edition of our English language show, covering news of Argentina and the region. And today we'll also be remembering something that happened 40 years ago. Exactly 4 decades back, Queen played 5 shows in Argentina in what was a turning point for the history of rock music in this country. And it was so much more than just a rock tour. It was the cultural event of its time. I'm going to be sharing some content about this anniversary and, of course, listening to some Queen music. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to qslrai@gmail.com. I repeat, qslrai@gmail.com. That's where you have to send your reception reports in case you are a DXer. We reply with digital QSL cards if your report is accurate. So be sending that reception report to qslrai@gmail.com. Let me remind you that we are bringing you weekly shows rather than daily shows from Mondays through Fridays because of the pandemic. It's been almost a year since our station has been working remotely, with everybody producing and recording content from their home studios, meaning we do not have the necessary infrastructure yet to bring you daily shows as we always did. But we are one step closer, 1 week closer, via the vaccination rollout, to leaving this behind. When exactly, we don't know yet. We just know that we are one step closer to leaving this pandemic behind, and in the case of RAI, that will mean returning to our studios in central Buenos Aires and be able to have shows every day. All right, folks, let us start with the news. And as usual, we begin with the headlines. Today, March the 3rd, marks a year since the first confirmed coronavirus case in Argentina. In his annual Congress address, President Alberto Fernández announced a criminal complaint into the 2018 agreement with the IMF signed by the Macri administration. Brazil, the health secretaries of all states call for lockdowns and curbs as the health system nears the point of collapse due to COVID-19. Chile. The UN warns of police abuses in repression of demonstrations. Despite COVID restrictions, 12 million tourists traveled to destinations in Argentina during the summer. Sports. A 19-year-old wins the Córdoba ATP, and media began calling him the hope of Argentine tennis. And here are the news. Wednesday, March the 3rd, marks a year since the first case of coronavirus was confirmed in Argentina. Exactly 1 year ago, the government announced that a 43-year-old man who had just returned from Italy was the first patient with COVID-19 and was hospitalized in a Buenos Aires clinic. That patient was discharged soon after. But since then, more than 2 million people have contracted the virus. 90% of them have recovered already. Meanwhile, a year after the first case, the pandemic has left more than 52,000 dead in Argentina. In other related news, the Sputnik V coronavirus vaccine will be produced in Argentina by the local laboratory Richmond. This was announced by that pharmaceutical company after reaching an agreement with the Russian Direct Investment Fund. However, sources from the Argentine firm clarify that this project is still in a preliminary phase and that local production is some time away. In this context, the new flight arrived this week from Russia with more than 700,000 doses of Sputnik V, most of them for the first dose. With this shipment, the country now has 4 million vaccines, including those from Covishield and Sinopharm. The Russian ambassador to Argentina, Dmitry Feoktistov, assured in that context that Moscow will fulfill its commitments to Buenos Aires and will send, over the next 6 months, the necessary doses to vaccinate 15 million Argentines. In addition, next May, Argentina will start receiving vaccines from the COVAX program of the World Health Organization. 2 million is the figure that has been confirmed by that entity. According to official data, more than 1.1 million people have been vaccinated so far in Argentina against coronavirus, of whom 302,000 have already received the two shots which are required for immunization. Meanwhile, Education Minister Nicolás Trotta said he expects all teachers to be vaccinated within 3 months. His statements come as schools are reopening in several provinces this week, including the most populous, Buenos Aires. Meanwhile, the government of the city of Buenos Aires has been taken to court for alleged privatization of the vaccination campaign, following its decision to hand over doses to the private health system. But the capital's authorities claim that this is a mere logistical decision and that beneficiaries of paid health plans will not be given priority over those who are treated in state-run health centers. Finally, the national government extended the closure of borders with neighboring countries until March the 12th. The ban on the entry of flights from the UK will also be maintained until that date to prevent the arrival of the so-called British variant of coronavirus. And the Argentine government will file a criminal complaint over the negotiation of a loan with the International Monetary Fund, signed in 2018 for more than $50 billion. The announcement was made on Monday by President Alberto Fernández when delivering his State of the Union speech at the National Congress in Buenos Aires City. According to him, the majority of the money loaned was leaked abroad in what he described as the greatest embezzlement of public funds in Argentine history. Mr. Fernandez claimed that the fund granted the 55 billion credit to the administration of his predecessor, Mauricio Macri, in order to help him get re-elected in the 2019 elections, which he lost anyway. In his speech to the Legislative Assembly, the head of state also warned that the coronavirus pandemic has not been resolved yet and expressed his condolences for the more than 52,000 deaths in the country. He also stressed that the health system did not collapse during 2020 and that anyone needing medical assistance got it. Meanwhile, he asserted his government acted quickly in the face of the scandal of vaccinations of officials and political leaders, the so-called VIP vaccinations. Fernandez acknowledged that asking former Health Minister Ginés González García to resign over the issue was personally painful but a necessary decision. He also anticipated projects in judicial matters since, according to him, This branch of government, quote-unquote, seems to live on the margins of the Republican system. Among other complaints about courts, the president insisted on the use of judicial cases to attack political leaders, the so-called lawfare, of which the former president and current vice president Cristina Fernández de Kirchner claims to be a victim of. The opposition, meanwhile, reiterated, after the presidential address, that these judicial initiatives are merely a part of a plan to achieve impunity for those accused of corruption, such as Mrs. Fernández de Kirchner. Alberto Fernández also anticipated projects to promote the use and production of electric vehicles and the cultivation of medical cannabis. In addition, he put forward an initiative for public utilities fares to be adjusted according to wage increases in pesos rather by the international price of energy in dollars. Fares have to be fair. The uncertainty of not knowing how much the gas or electricity bill will be is over, said the head of state. He also urged Congress to reform income tax so that fewer wage earners would be subject to this tax, which is paid by 25% of Argentine taxpayers. Alberto Fernández spoke for almost 2 hours before Parliament to inaugurate the 139th legislative session. In 2021, the ceremony was marked by the COVID-19 pandemic, which meant that only 90 lawmakers attended. The rest of senators and deputies followed the inauguration by teleconference, as did the guests. Brazil is going through the worst moment of the coronavirus pandemic because of the spread of the so-called Amazonian strain. Also, epidemiologists in Brazil believe that infections have multiplied due to clandestine carnival celebrations. This week, intensive care units in the southern states of Santa Catarina and Minas Gerais reached peak levels, forcing authorities to refer patients to other states. In addition, the capital, Brasilia, entered into strict lockdown for 2 weeks to attempt to curb the rise in infections. In this context, health secretaries from Brazil's 27 states published a letter demanding tougher measures from President Jair Bolsonaro's government in response to the pandemic. The officials called for a nighttime curfew, the suspension of in-school teaching at all levels, and the closure of bars and beaches, among other restrictions. They also expressed regret at the lack of a unified national leadership to deal with the health crisis, given Bolsonaro's manifest skepticism about the seriousness of COVID-19. With 250,000 victims, Brazil is the country with the highest number of deaths from coronavirus in the world, second only to the US. Regarding the Amazonian variant, British authorities are trying to find a confirmed case in the UK. According to Health Secretary Matt Hancock, the person who tested positive in the swab did not fill in his contact details, so he has not been yet identified. Meanwhile, as in Peru and Argentina, a scandal over the vaccination of privileged people is now rocking Ecuador. That country's health minister, Juan Carlos Ceballos, resigned under accusations of providing shots to members of his family who received them before those that were deemed as priority. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, denounced police abuses in the country of which she was president for 2 terms, Chile. The UN official made specific mention of the repression of the demonstrations in late 2019, demanding greater social equality and a reform of the constitution inherited from the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet. In a report sent to the Chilean prosecutor's office that is investigating the police action, Bachelet assures there were serious violations, such as excessive use of force, arbitrary detentions, torture, and sexual violence at checkpoints. In addition, the former head of state criticized the government of her successor, Sebastián Piñera, for lack of collaboration in clarifying these accusations. Bachelet also regretted what she called the militarization of Chile's borders and the accelerated deportation of many migrants, especially Venezuelans. The spokesperson for the Chilean government came out in turn against these denunciations and assured that only a court and not, quote-unquote, a former president can determine whether human rights violations are taking place in Chile. In other news from the region, El Salvador's president Nayib Bukele won a resounding victory in the midterm parliamentary elections of last 28th of February. The conservative party he leads will have more than two-thirds of the seat, and for the first time in decades, a political force will enjoy absolute majority in the Salvadorian Congress. Meanwhile, the president of the Dominican Republic, Luis Abinader, announced the construction of a wall along the 380-kilometer border with neighboring Haiti, one of the poorest nations in the hemisphere. He said the wall will be completed before 2 years and is intended to curb illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and the entry of the stolen vehicles from Haiti. Finally, the presidents of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, and the US, Joe Biden, held their first dialogue via teleconference. Mexican government sources assured that the talk was cordial and that both leaders agreed on a bilateral agenda on immigration and management of the COVID-19 pandemic. The summer tourist season is coming to an end, and according to business people in the sector, there was a 30% drop in activity compared to last year because of COVID-19. However, between December and February, some 22 million people traveled to destinations in Argentina, according to the Argentine Chamber of Medium-Sized Businesses, the CAME. This lobby said a reflection of the health situation was the growth of accommodation in rural areas away from crowded resort towns. Average stays were also shorter this summer and were around 4 days per family. Industry sources quoted by CAME explained that the impossibility of traveling to Uruguay, which closed its borders to Argentine tourists, boosted activity on the Argentine Atlantic seaboard. In its report, CAME says that the tourism industry players consulted described this season as bad, but they stressed also that they feared it would be even worse. It also lists the most visited destinations in this summer of 2021. Mar del Plata and Villa Gesell in the province of Buenos Aires, Gualeguaychú in the province of Entre Ríos, Villa Carlos Paz in the province of Córdoba, and Bariloche in the province of Río Negro, northern Patagonia. And now sports. Argentina national football team's coach Lionel Scaloni is about to announce the starting 11 that will play against Brazil and Uruguay in the next qualifiers for the Qatar 2022 World Cup. It is known already that Lionel Messi will be among those called up, but there are doubts about the presence of Manchester City's Sergio Agüero because of an injury he's just coming out of. Argentina will play versus Uruguay at home on March 26, and 4 days later will visit Brazil for another edition of the South American Football Derby. In other sporting news, a 19-year-old Argentine won the ATP of Córdoba after beating the top-ranked and the favorite, Albert Ramos of Spain, in the final. Juan Manuel Cerúndolo from Buenos Aires City won 6-0, 2-6 and 6-2, and will thus move up from 335th to the world top 200. Local media have already begun calling him the promise of Argentine tennis, in the same way they did 15 years ago with Juan Martín del Potro. And these were the news on Rai Argentina to the world. Okay, folks, now we're going to share with you a fragment of an interview with Wilki Amieva, a Queen expert, collector, musician, producer. He even worked with Queen for a time. And I talked to him on the occasion of the 40th anniversary of Queen's visit to Argentina in early 1981. The following is just a fragment, but the full interview with Wilki, the full talk, is available on our YouTube channel, Rai Argentina to the World, or via our website, where you can see some interesting pictures of Queen in Buenos Aires back then, in Argentina in general. You can see Diego Maradona posing with Freddie Mercury, and some other interesting bits of data from that historic moment, Queen's visit to Argentina in 1981. And also, you can find there, via our website, rai.com.ar, a link to the full show of Queen in Buenos Aires, as it was broadcast on public TV back then. So, well, there it goes. The first part of the interview with Wilki on Queen's visit to Argentina 40 years ago.
And to talk about this historic event, not only for the music of Argentina, but for the cultural history of Argentina, it's been a cliche, I've been told, say that this is a turning point in the history of Argentine concerts, but it is. It is the truth. And to talk about this, I've got down the line Wilki Amieva. He's a music researcher. He's a Queen collector. He worked for Queen, for Queen's social media. He's done a lot of research, and he might be one of the most expert people in Argentina about Queen. And well, he's accepted this invitation to talk about this moment in Argentine history. We are going back to the year 1981, the beginning of 1981, and Queen visits Argentina. Every single person who's been there, including my father, who went, told me that it was unforgettable, unbelievable. And well, we're going to talk in depth about that with Wilki. Thank you for this, Wilki.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, Wilki, what's the background of Queen coming to Argentina? At that time, if I'm not wrong, very, very few bands from the Northern Hemisphere, like big names in English-speaking music, would come down this far south. It's not like now that Buenos Aires and Chile are unavoidable stops for any band touring the world, but in 1981 that was very rare. How come Queen came to Argentina? What's the background of that?
Well, I think several factors. In fact, they were quite adventurous, Queen and their manager, Jim. So I guess they were open. That was the first condition for this to happen. They were open to proposals from everywhere, which is not quite usual for a band that size. But I think the really strange thing that happened is that somebody here thought that it would be a good idea to bring Queen here, despite the fact that there was no experience whatsoever in dealing with such a big show, such huge productions. So to make a long, very long story short, because they were like negotiating for about a year and a half, they contacted this, I mean, this person contacted them called Jose Rota. He was a producer who lived in, I think he lived in Brazil, not in Buenos Aires. He was in contact with some people from Argentina that were in Brazil at the time. So one of them just had the idea. It's not clear who had the idea, but some accounts say that it was Charlie Garcia.
Really?
That he was in Brazil at that time, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was in Brazil, yeah.
Yeah, so At least that's the history that famous local rock star Billy Bond tells, that it was Charlie's idea. So José Rota took the idea. They he contacted several producers, local promoters, I guess. To contact Queen's management, and then they started to talk about how to do all the logistics, because you know it's a very big show for that time. And so they had to have the support from the military government, because that's the only way that they could deal with all the logistics. And the of course the military dictatorship at that time had some experience doing shows, because what was the World Cup after all? A big show.
Okay, that's just the first part of the interview with Wilky Amieva on the visit of Queen to Argentina 40 years ago. Check the full interview on our website riot.com.ar or our YouTube channel Riot Argentina to the World. Here's a little bit of Queen, the song inspired by their visit to Latin America. Las palabras de amor. The words of love. In this way, folks, we come to the end of this week's edition of Rai Argentina to the World. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. Take care and hasta la próxima.